Welcome back to On the Couch with Dr. D. Here to give us all of her wisdom, her decades and decades of wisdom and understanding.
Oh, mate, you make me sound old.
No, I'm not making you sound old. I'm making you sound experienced.
Ask me what I'm wearing. Why I'm wearing what I'm wearing.
Welcome back to Entertainment Tonight. Who are you wearing?
Target.
We like to thank Target.
No, I was thinking about this idea of simplicity. So I'm wearing it black in honor of Steve Jobs.
And I'm wearing it in honor of Johnny Cash.
Oh, he's much cooler. Decision fatigue was
right.
Something. And he said to avoid decision fatigue, highly successful or high power people often will wear the same thing, so they don't have to make one less decision. So his was always a black turtleneck
with the jeans. Yeah, we're in a season where we've been asked to buy things in the lead up to Christmas, and now we're being asked to buy things and add things to our lives because everything's on special or on sale at the moment. And so we're always being asked to add things to our lives. Do you have you found that you've had to build up almost a defensive mechanism to adding things to your life?
Yeah, I think you do. And it's making those decisions ahead of time and letting enough be enough.
Tapping into...
Contentment.
Contentment.
Yeah.
And realizing that you said, when is enough enough? When you figure out what enough is.
Mm.
And so I think that whole idea of my sustenance, my enough is found in God.
The pop culture expression FOMO.
Yeah.
And we have this real fear of missing out. And like, if we don't experience all these things, that we're going to miss something and somehow be less fulfilled as a person. And so that whole idea of simplicity and being satisfied or content with less, and to identify what's important, and then you can go everything else after that. And then you invest in those things first, and then things, you know, like, it's kind of like the prioritization of, you know. Like,
is that a little bit like seek first the kingdom and all these things will be... I feel like we've read that somewhere before. Yeah. We talked about the idea that the battle is the Lord's.
Yeah.
I think you were talking about one in 2 Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. 2 Chronicles 20, 15 through 17, I think it was.
It's what the Lord says, do not be afraid, don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's.
Simple truth.
Simple truth.
Yeah, because we're so afraid. This is what I think. This is Deanna's theory.
Go with that.
We're so afraid of missing out that we have to do it all. Because, you know, we don't want to be left out, or we don't want to miss out, and we try to pile it all in or fit it all in or cram it all in. And I think that sometimes that's a symptom of prosperity, that, you know, we have so much and we get bored easily, and you know, we're afraid that we're going to miss out. So we just we're killing ourselves. The gospel is very simple. It's God loves you. Jesus died for you, and you just have to accept that. And yet we want to make it so complicated, but that simplicity, and God calls us to himself very simply. I would ask you the question, are you setting aside time to do that thing that fills your cup back up? Because that's restorative. Like I said, asking the questions of, you know, the obvious ones. Are you sleeping? Are you exercising? Yeah. Going with God. The Holy Spirit, isn't that? He's the breath, right? The breath of God. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There you go.
Took us 4 weeks to get there, but there's the answer.
Breathe while you're still breathing. How's that going?
Yeah, breathe while you're still breathing.
There's our mantra for this.
Let's just breathe together and enjoy knowing that there's a God who cares for us, loves us, and knows where we're at and can lead us in quiet, still places. Still.
Yeah, you can clap for that. Yeah, thanks, Tamara. I'll tell Deanna that you clap for that. You been enjoying those? Yeah, I got an email from Justin today. He was talking about preparing the videos, and he says, "I feel like I'm ripping everyone off because of all the stuff he's editing it out that was good stuff." So maybe we'll put those back out on the YouTube channel later on, and you can get the whole thing. But have you enjoyed the series? It's coming to a close. I'm kind of sad because it's coming to a close, because I've enjoyed it. Have you? Yeah, but I'm also glad it's coming to a close, because as a preacher, when we're preparing things to share with you, there is this weird thing that happens, and it has an uncanny ability to actually beat us up mercilessly. So as we've been going through the Breathe series, one thing I'm identifying is I have an increasing number of opportunities to apply what we've been preaching. I've noticed that this last month, there have been more detours between here and my house in Windhamvale than has ever been in the history of the world. Just in this month. It's like every road is blocked off. And I've also felt like traffic has gone crazy the last 3 weeks. And I know it's going to get a lot worse next week, and that's why I'm going to the States for 3 weeks, and I'm going to miss you, and you'll miss me, I'm sure. But, yeah, I'm glad I won't be in the fray of that. The other thing is I told you in the first week of the series that I try not to use the word busy because I don't like the word busy. And through this series, I've actually stopped trying to tried to stop using the word hurry, saying, I got to hurry to get somewhere, or we have to hurry, let's go, and that kind of thing, because I want to eliminate those things. What I've found is so often I'm having to stop my words before they come out of my mouth. So I'm actually glad this series is over so I can get on with life and not be breathing anymore. I'm just kidding, obviously. Hopefully this will take you on beyond this month in that opportunity. How about you? Have you concluded that you also are infected with that hurry sickness we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Anybody? Have you looked at this and you've said, you know what? I know that's me. We have one of our seasoned saints about 80 years old. Last week he talked to Deanna and he said, if we slow down anymore, we'll be dead. Yeah, and he didn't have a southern accent and drawl like that, but anyway, that's how old people talk in the States. So if that's you, then you can have a pass on applying all of this month's messages. But if it's not you, and that's, I think, all of you in the room, you've got a few more years on you, then the rest of us are probably feeling like, yeah, I can resonate with the need to breathe, but this is something that's just flat out impossible in my life. I can't slow down. I can't Sabbath and rest. I can't find space for silence and solitude and stillness. Because for you adult people, I started to say older people, but adult people, you got jobs and they're demanding and you never see your kids hardly at all already. And your kids are doing sport and they're doing dance and it goes on and on. You've got extended family that want more things from you and everybody wants some of you. Or maybe you're in that stage of life, again, the adults, you got little kids running around. And you think, if I take time to breathe, my house is going to be overrun by nappies and Lego. And everybody's going to be running around naked because we're not doing laundry. You think, I can't take time to breathe. Or maybe, for some of you, you're in uni. You say, you know, I'm in uni. Uni is really, really important. They make us go to class like twice a semester. Yeah. You thought I was going to say a week, didn't you? I'm smarter than that. I know you don't really have to. But I'm really busy. I've got all these assignments to do, and I don't want to be a social recluse, so I've got to hang out with my friends on social media and every now and then actually in person. And for you that are still in high school, you're glad you get to go back to school this week, aren't you? You excited about that? Woohoo! You guys excited about that? Yeah, the parents. And you're sitting there thinking, well, hang on, you're talking about breathing and slowing down, and my teachers aren't going to let me do that. They're going to pile the assignments on, and the parents are going to expect me to do the assignments and get good grades, and then they're going to expect me to make my bed and empty the dishwasher, maybe load the dishwasher, and yeah, all the things I got to do. I can't breathe either, right? Is that you? I think we all want to breathe, but it feels like something that's a fairy tale and that only maybe monks can pull off because they pull aside and go live in a monastery or something like that. Today, as we wind up the series, I want to share with you one final thought about how we can breathe that actually makes all the other ones possible, that makes it possible for us to slow down, to Sabbath, to find space for silence, solitude, and stillness. If we're going to do all that, we need to do one word. simplify. If we're going to make that happen in our life, we have to simplify our lives. Simplify means to reduce to basic essentials. That's the basic definition, or to diminish in scope or complexity. The word simple, when I looked it up in Scripture and saw how it was used, it's very similar. It comes from the same group of words that sincerity comes from. And a person who is sincere or simple is open, they're honest, they're direct, they're without hypocrisy. Some other words that are translated the same way that carry this idea of simplicity are this: humility in the book of Acts, integrity in the book of 2 Samuel, and innocence and generosity in the book of Romans. When I look at that list, I'm actually drawn to it. I'm drawn to people that exhibit those characteristics in their life. How about you? Yeah? You like people that are like that? Even if you're not a Christian, I would guess that you like people. You're attracted to people that are like that. Yeah? And if you're a follower of Jesus, there's a couple more you can add to the list. We can add a life of devotion to God and believing the gospel is the truth. How many of you would like to be characterized by that list? When people think about you, when they're talking about you, whatever they're saying, at least they're talking. I don't care what people say about me too much. I just want them talking about me. But anyway, I'd really like for them to be saying those kinds of things about me. Would you like that? If you would like that, to make that true in our life, we have to cultivate simplicity. We have to simplify. All those come from the root of simplifying. It's time for us to create some margin, because most of us want that. Most of us crave it, but most of us don't do it because we don't know how. Tonight, I want us to investigate how we can create more margin. Now, I thought about bringing Marie Kondo in for this message tonight. You know Marie Kondo? Who knows Marie Kondo? Right? Or knows of her? You don't know her personally, right? Right? She's a Japanese descent, and she is like super organized and gets everybody's houses and stuff all organized and makes them throw away junk and all that. Well, I was actually watching some clips from her this week as I was preparing, and I went home and I'm packing to go to the States, and my T-shirt drawer was all a mess, and I pulled out the ones I want to take with me, and then as I was putting them back, I said, no, I'm not just throwing them back in there. And I started rolling them up and folding them nicely and putting them in. Have you seen that, right, from Marie Kondo, right? I got all done. I thought about taking a picture to share it with you tonight, but I didn't. I couldn't be bothered. But I called Deanna. I said, Deanna, come. You got to see this. You got to see what I did. And I opened my T-shirt drawer, right? This is what you do when you start getting old. You know, that's exciting to look in a T-shirt drawer and see all the colors, and they're nice and neat where you can just pick the one you up. Anyway, yeah, thanks for listening. I didn't invite Marie to come tonight because she's not a preacher, and I want us to go beyond organizing our stuff. We got too much stuff anyway. We've talked about that at different series and different times, and we might talk about it a little bit more tonight. But I want us to order our lives, and that takes a lot more effort and energy than organizing our stuff. And you're thinking, I can't even organize my stuff. Well, hang with me tonight. I'm going to help you figure out how to organize your life. To create margin, where do we need to begin? Before we get too far into it, I want you to understand there are two things about you that expose you, that if somebody looks at in your life, they will know more about you than you ever wanted them to know. They'll know what's important to you. If they see your calendar and they see the transaction history of your bank account. If you want to know something about people, look at those two things, and that will tell you most everything you need to know about those people. Now, I find a paradox here, though, because what our calendar might say and our bank account might say, if I were to go around the room and I asked you, what's important to you in life? What do you value in life? What things are most dear to you? You would articulate something very different than what your calendar says and your bank account says. Did you know that? Yeah? Yeah? Thinking about how we spend our time, how we spend our money, that demonstrates what we value, or at least it should. But there's that paradox, because I think we respond too often to all the input from outside rather than taking control of those things in our lives. Now, before I dissect your calendar tonight and before we look at your finances, I want to take one more step backwards, and we need to create a filter so that we know what to populate those things with. And that filter will allow us the space to breathe. Most of us have heard of David in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He was king of Israel. He was, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He was a shepherd. He was the kid that took a rock to a sword fight and killed Goliath. You heard that story? That's all exciting. He was a poet. He was a musician. He was an awesome dude. He had all the skills that I don't have. He was amazing. And he wrote this line in Psalm 57 when he was hiding in a cave from Saul. He said this: "I cry out to God Most High, who will fulfill his purpose for me." See, David understood that his life had a purpose and that God would fulfill it. If we go over to the New Testament book of Acts, I love the book of Acts because that's where all the stuff happens, where the early church was birthed, and I just love how all that plays out. But Luke, he was a doctor who was writing the book of Acts. He said this about David in chapter 13. He says, "Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed." If I didn't already have a life verse, I think I would choose that as my life verse. Isn't that an awesome verse? Did you hear it? David lived and served God's purpose, then he died, then his body decayed. How would you like to have that on your tombstone, you know, as an epitaph? You know, isn't that awesome? But the Bible's great. You need to read it because stuff like this just is there. David understood he had a purpose. When he accomplished that purpose, then his life was over. I actually want that for my life. I don't want it tomorrow. I don't want it to be over. But when my life is over, I hope that God would look at that and say, "Yes, I accomplished my purpose for him." And then he died. And he's resting. That's great. And he's in heaven now and all that. But what's true of David is true of all of us. Romans chapter 8 says this: "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Did you know that you actually have a purpose rather than just taking up space on the planet? God made you for a purpose. And our purpose, we all have one, is very personal because God made you uniquely. There's no one else exactly like you. There may be somebody very similar to you. You may have an identical twin, but you're not the same. God made us all unique. And God gave us different gifts and different abilities. Did you know that where you live is part of God's purpose for you? God put you in this place. Your purpose has a place. That's where your life is played out. Your purpose also has a timeline. You see, David lived and served God's purpose in his generation. What David did in his generation is different than what we do in our generation. You have opportunities different than what David did. David had opportunities that are different than what you do. You get that? So you have a place, you have a timeline for your purpose to be played out. There are things that only you can do because God created you uniquely to do them. There are things that you can do that I can't do because you were made to do them. There are things that I can do that you can't do because I was made to do them. We need to get a hold of that before we start talking about how to simplify everything else. We got to understand who God has made us to be. Maybe you can resonate with this. Back in the 90s, there was posters all over the place that were motivational posters that had these little quips and sayings that were supposed to inspire you. Well, I'm a bit sarcastic in life most of the time, so I liked demotivational posters. And here was a quote from one of them that I just really loved. It said, "Everyone has a purpose. It may be that yours is to be a bad example so others don't make the same mistakes you did." Right, so if you don't have any other purpose, maybe you'll adopt that one. You can just be a bad example. You'll end up in a sermon illustration, and everybody will laugh, and you'll be mortified, and that kind of thing. We all have a purpose. Paul was a great example of a man on a mission. He was focused on his purpose. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance." Paul had a purpose. Before he met Jesus, he was a murderer of Christians. He took them hostage, and he was just really a persecutor of Christians. And he met Jesus, and his life changed completely, and then he had one purpose, and that was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Because Paul took his purpose seriously, and he was focused on it, just laser focused on his purpose, he ended up planting churches all over the world and wrote well over half of the New Testament, and we still read his words today to inspire us and teach us and give us direction, because Paul was focused. I want to share with you how this played out in my own life, my purpose, if that's okay with you. I don't want this message to be about me, but I want to illustrate this for you and show you how this works and how you can make this work for you. Is that okay if I share my purpose with you? Yep, okay. Do we need to have another meeting later for the three that said yeah and let the rest of you off? No, I'm going to share it with you whether you want me to or not. My purpose, several years ago, I landed on was to learn, to love, and to lead. And when I knew that they were alliterated, they all started with L, I knew it was from God. That had to be true. When I play that out in my life, the reason those things are my purpose, my mission in life. When I say I want to learn, and these are not in order of importance, by the way, I'd say they're all about the same. When I say learn, I want to know Christ. I want to know him intimately. I want to know him better tomorrow than I did today. I want to know him better next year than I did this year. I want to be a constant learner in that. I want to develop my gifts and abilities. What God has gifted me with is as a pastor, as a teacher, and as a leader. And I want to learn as much as I can about those spaces so that I can grow those gifts in me. I want to grow in my knowledge of wherever God has placed me, whether that's in a role, in a job, in a ministry, or in society. I want to know as much as I can so that then as I'm executing the other gifts and abilities and all that that God has given me, I can do it intelligently. I can do it in a way that makes sense to people. And then I said, I want to learn, I want to love. I want to love God and I want to love people. Loving God is obvious. Loving people is the command that's almost like the one that's love God. That's what Jesus said, the two commands. When I say love people, I start with my family that God gave me. When I say I love people, I love our church community. I love our community outside these doors. I love people all over the world, and I can tell you a little secret, especially people that don't know Jesus yet, because people that know Jesus can be a pain. No, I'm joking, because I'm just passionate about people that don't know Jesus coming to know Jesus. So he's given me a heart for that and a passion for that, so I need to fuel that, and that's the love. And then to lead, I see myself as a leader, gifted. I'm a servant first. I want to be a servant first. I want to lead by example and serve others in my leadership. I want to be an influencer, and I want to shepherd. And if you don't understand what shepherd means, go back to love, and that's how that's played out. So that's my filters, to learn, love, and lead. And in recent years, I've added another word to it that I had to. That word is live. So now it's learn, love, lead, and live. You say, well, we all live. You're breathing. That's living, right? Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living life in such a way that I enjoy life, that my soul is replenished, my spirit is refreshed. I take care of my body. And by the way, think about what it would look like if I didn't, right? So if you say, you take care of your body, yes, I do. I incorporate recreation into my life. Because if I'm going to learn, love, and lead, I've got to do all those other things. Or I'm not going to have the energy. I'm not going to have the capacity to do those things effectively. So live is now a huge part of who I am. So that's me. That's my filter. I share that as an example. But you have to figure out what your purpose is. You have to understand what God has made you, or how God has made you, and where he's placed you, the opportunities he's given you. Those things will lead you to your purpose. Famous preacher T.D. Jakes said this. He said, if you can't figure out your purpose, figure out your passion. Your passion will lead you right into your purpose. So if you struggle with this idea of what I'm here for and my purpose, what do you get excited about? What are you passionate about? If you follow that passion, it might very well lead you to your purpose. So take some time aside when this series is done. Prayerfully, thoughtfully consider, how have you made me, God? What's your purpose in my life? When Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, his first question was, Lord, what would you have me to do? He said, okay, Jesus, yep, you're Jesus. Now what do you want me to do? I'm yours. I'm giving you my life. What do you want me to do with it now? If you start trying to wrestle with that and you're struggling with it, the pastoral team, elders, love to come alongside you. This is so important, especially for you guys. You're thinking, what's purpose? I got to go to school every day. If you figure this out now, you're going to have an amazing life. It's going to be wonderful because you got it early. I wish somebody taught me this stuff early when I was your age, because I wouldn't have wasted so many years just wasting life. Another way to frame this is that too often we're focused on task and all that we have to do. But instead of focusing on all we have to do, it's better if we start by asking the question, who do I want to be? Who has God made me to be? And if we let that inform what I have to do, then our life is going to get more simple. So it's time to simplify. It's time to create margins. So break out your calendar, because your calendar is the most powerful tool that you have to simplify your life. The calendar is your most powerful tool to simplify. So when you break out your calendar, how do we approach calendar planning? You break out your calendar when somebody says, can you do X, Y, Z, right? And you look at your calendar, and what do you see? You see a few things written in there or on the computer or on your app, right? And if there's a white space and there's nothing there, what do you say? Yeah, I can have that coffee. I can do that lunch. I can do that event, right? People say, hey, can I have some time with you here? Can you do this for me? Can you come to this event? And we populate our calendar if there's blanks in it. You know, sometimes when people will, and I've heard this from other people, ask you, hey, can we catch up? Can we do this? And you pull out your calendar, you're secretly hoping, I hope I have something going on that day. Aren't you? Yeah. Because you want to say no, but if it's blank, you're going to feel guilty if you say no, right? Yeah. Are you with me? Or are you confused? I can't tell. You're with me. Good on you. Good on you. If we approach our calendar planning a little differently, we can simplify that, because we end up, when we do it the way I just described, we're allowing other people to plan our calendar for us, and that ends up making our calendars complicated, which makes our life complicated, which eliminates the space to breathe, right? Remember, that's what this is all about, is creating that space to breathe. If we approach calendar planning with the filter of our purpose, who I want to be, who God has designed me to be, that then changes everything. It informs our calendar, and it looks a bit different. If you start your calendar planning by prayerfully and intentionally scheduling the things that will contribute to your purpose first, then let everything else flow. You start with that. Now, some of you guys, you're going back to school this week, I know, and your calendar's playing for you. You've got timetables and everything, right? And your teachers, you got to go to school, and you got to go to classes. And yes, you do. Don't skip classes. That's bad, bad, bad. Anyway, so you don't have a lot of freedom in that. But that's only a few hours a day. You've got a lot of freedom, so you stay with me. Don't think you can check out because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you because you need to learn this now. If you start your calendar planning that way, then everything else will fit in around that. For me personally, I'm going to tell you how I do my calendar. I want to grow in my relationship with God. And that is vitally important to me. So in my calendar, I've got blocks of time every day that say devotion. And that's in my calendar. It's an appointment in my calendar. Okay? I'm married. I want to stay married. Okay? And I don't just want to stay married. I want to have a fabulous marriage. So that's going to take time, by the way. Talk to these guys over here. If you didn't know that to have a great marriage takes time, that's gold for you right now, okay? Take that home, take it to the bank, and guys especially, start spending time. Yeah, you get it. Right. Anyway, so I'm going to spend time with my wife. I'm going to put that on my calendar. I'm going to put date nights on my calendar. I'm going to put going away together on the calendar. There are appointments because that's important to me. That's part of my purpose, the loving part. Now, God gave me children. Maybe God's given you children. Maybe God will give you children one day. And if he has and if he does, then that means for me that, okay, he gave me kids. That means he wants me to be a father. And if he wants me to be a father, well, if that's God's purpose for me, I want to be a great father. If I'm going to be a great father, I got to spend time with my kids. By the way, if you talk to my kids, I didn't learn this until just, you know, the last 10 years or so. I didn't know this when they were little. I wish I had. But I need to spend time with them. I still need to spend time with them now that they're adults because they need me now more than they did when they were kids. I got to put time there for that. I put it on the calendar. One thing I decided a long time ago is that I wouldn't be out more than three nights in the week. And when you're in ministry, there's a lot of things that you do at night. I said, three nights, that's it. Because I want a good marriage and I want to be a good father. I put it on the calendar, though. Because if it's not on the calendar, guess what? Somebody's going to ask for that night, and I'm going to open up my calendar, and it's blank. And I'm going to say, oh, yeah, I can do that. Because I'm a people pleaser, and I love to have meetings. I love to be around people. You have to put it on the calendar. I want my body to last a while so that I can live, love, and lead and learn, right? Forgot what my purpose was for a second. And for that to happen, I need to exercise and eat right. And I got to put the exercise on the calendar because it's hard enough, even when it is on the calendar, to get up and make that happen. If it's not on the calendar, I will let anything squeeze that out. Right? You want a coffee meeting at 7 o'clock? Yeah, I got it, right? It means I don't have to go to the gym today. Put it on the calendar if it's a part of your purpose and your values. I need to live. I need to breathe. So I need to schedule that. I need to schedule recreation in my life and put it on the calendar as an appointment. I need to learn. So I need to carve out time in my schedule each week to be reading, to be studying, to having new experiences that are going to expose me to things that I haven't seen before. I need to lead and influence. One of the ways that I do that is doing what I'm doing right now. I need to have time to create, time to prepare messages and figure out what God is leading our church to and strategy and all those things. And I have to schedule that time. Otherwise, with a church this size, I could have every minute of every day scheduled with just having coffees with people. And I would be talking a lot faster than I talk now if I had coffees all day, every day like that. Do you get the picture? And I've shared how I process that. An example of my calendar is up there on the screen. My calendar looks something like this. And this is my wish list calendar, okay? And I don't really do it, and my staff will slap me later and tell me, you don't actually do all that. And I'm telling you, I don't actually do all that. That's my ideal calendar. That's what it would look like. What do you see there? You see a slam full calendar, don't you? There's only two little white spaces, right? Right? And that's only because I couldn't fill them up quick enough before I had to get them on the PowerPoint. But what that shows you is everything I just said is on there. Does that mean I don't have time to have a coffee with you potentially? No, that's not what it means at all. See all those blue sections? Those say meetings. Right? So, yeah, I probably have time for a coffee. Potentially, it might be a few weeks down the road or whatever. But I've already got it scheduled in before it's there. And if I've got too many of those already scheduled in, guess what? I'm going to have to say no to something. what it allows you to do is when somebody comes to you and they say, hey, can we get together? Or can you go to the footy with me or this or that or the other? You pull out your calendar and you say, oh, actually, I've already got a commitment that day. Right? You just saw my calendar. I'm not lying. I've got commitments because I've discovered what my purpose in life is and how I'm going to get there is by my calendar. Now, you can't, you've got to be somewhat flexible sometimes. Because if I did that, I would never see any of you. I would never talk to any of you or anything. So an example of that was this week. While I was writing this section of this sermon, Belinda in the office came into my office door, and she was smiling. Mr. Stan, your granddaughter's here to see you. Did you hear that? My granddaughter was there to see me. So I looked at my calendar, and I said, no, Belinda, this is my study time. Tell her to go away. What? This is real stuff. You got it? No, I didn't do that. I realized, I did take a breath. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to get my sermon done and all that. But I thought, you know what? My purpose is to love. That's my granddaughter God's given me. My son's out there. My daughter-in-law's out there. They're waiting for me. I'm going to go enjoy a few minutes with them. That was an interruption to my calendar, but it fit in who I am. It fit in who I believe God wants me to be. So I said, yes, I'll do that. I'll make that one happen. See, you need to be discerning, because the whole point here is you create your calendar, you and God, not other people. And then you're discerning about it, because sometimes God opportunities come along. Sometimes something's going to come up and you know that came from God. I've got to do that no matter what my calendar says. This week, Friday, after I had spent some time with Isla and Garrett and Candace, I went to my house to give my dog away, and because we're going to the States and somebody's dog sitting and probably going to keep the dog praying in that way anyway. And I knew when I did that, I was going to have to come back to the office and work a little bit late into the evening to finish my message and tidy up everything so that I could leave and go on holidays. Because I spent time with Isla, that's what messed up the schedule. But anyway, so I came back, and one of the tradesmen that's been doing some renovations over in the ministry center was here late, or came back late. It was about 6 o'clock. And he came in, and he was all tired, and he said, how you doing? Didn't get it all done this week. We're going to have to do some of it next week. And I'm like, oh, that's all right. It's great. And then we engaged in a little bit of conversation. And then he started telling me the story about another guy that he knew. And he said, if there was ever a miracle, it was this guy's life. And he went on for about 10 minutes telling me the story. I processed miracle came out of his mouth. And I lodged that back here. So when he was done telling me the story, I said, hey, you said it was a miracle. He said, yeah, I believe it was a miracle. I said, so you believe in God? And he's like, yeah, I actually do. And then he started talking about Big Bang and how can people believe that and not wonder where the bang came from or where the what went bang came from. So he's like, science is all right, but there had to be something. And it was awesome. I said, wow. And then we started talking about his life and where he was at and his journey when he was a kid, went to church a little bit with his grandparents. Anyway, long story short, he didn't trust Jesus yet, but it was a great spiritual conversation for about half an hour. And that was a God appointment, because the way my day played out, I would not have even have been there at that time. And if I was looking at my calendar saying, no, I've got to get the sermon done, I would have said, yep, sorry, you didn't get it all done. You'll do it next week. See you. Have a great weekend. And I would have went, boom, back to preparation. But it was a God moment. So you got to be discerning. I want you to be militant about your calendar, like I was showing you. But I want you to allow God to interrupt your calendar at the same time. Nehemiah is a great biblical example of this. Nehemiah was a guy who went and he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem after they had been attacked and they had been broken down. And the walls were almost done. The gates were being tidied up. And he was on top of the wall working. And his enemy, Sanballat, sent a message to him. He said, hey, Nehemiah, let's have a cup of coffee. Do you have time or space in your calendar to have a meeting with me? And Nehemiah's response in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3 says, I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? I love that response. I'm going to set up my auto reply to be that. So if you ever message me, it's just going to say, I'm doing a great work and I can't come, right? You'd love that, wouldn't you? Yeah, it's good for Nehemiah he gave that answer because they were plotting to kill him. And if he had went and had the meeting, he would have been dead. We could say a lot about being in the right place at the right time where God wants you to be. Nehemiah understood his mission and his purpose. And he said, no, you're not going to distract me. I'm not coming down because I'm focused on what God's given me to do. We could spend a lot of time talking about finances now, but you're ready to go home and I'm ready to go on holidays. So let me just say this. If you apply the same principles to spending money that I just shared with you about populating your calendar, it will change the way you spend your money. If you say, hey, if I spend this, is that going to contribute to my purpose? If I spend that, is it going to help me become who God wants me to be? See how that works? It'll change the way you spend money. It'll change the way you populate your calendar. And when you do those things, it will simplify your life. Summing up for you today so you can take this home. We've got to simplify to be what God has called us to be. And we've got to simplify to do what God has called us to do. And they go in that order. Be who God has called you to be, and then you'll know what God has called you to do. James chapter 1, he's talking about a double-minded man. And he says this in verse 8, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. If you're too distracted, you're trying to go too many different directions, your life will be complicated. You won't have time to breathe. You won't have time to slow down. You won't have time to Sabbath or practice silence. You've got to simplify. So here's the bottom line for you today to take home. Let your purpose create your priorities. Write that one down if you take notes. Take a picture of it if you don't. Let your purpose create your priorities. If you do that, then you'll be able to breathe because breathing is part of your purpose. Before we wrap this up, I am compelled because of who God has made me to be to share with you one more thing about simplifying. For those who are not yet a follower of Jesus, that might be in the room tonight. Did you know that Jesus came to simplify how we can have a relationship with God? He came to make it easy. See, before Jesus came, most God followers were Jews, and when God made them a nation, he gave them 10 commandments. Those 10 ended up blowing out to over 600. And a lot of that was because the Pharisees kept adding to them, and they would make laws about laws about laws about laws so that they made sure that they didn't sin, but then in doing all of that, they were sinning. Anyway, it got so messy and so complicated to understand how a relationship with God should look like. Not what God intended. The church, historically, has done the same thing. Many times churches have made it about a religion. It's about rules. It's about regulations. And in order to be a good Christian, you have to do X, Y, Z. And if you don't do A, B, C, then you're not a good Christian. And we put all these trappings around it that says, if you want a relationship with God, this is what you have to do. God said, no, I want to make it simple. So what God did is he looked down on earth and he saw that we are all sinners. Anybody a sinner in the house tonight? Yeah. Yeah. Every hand should be up, right? We're all sinners. And he said, those people can't have a relationship with me because they're sinners, but I want a relationship with them. So he sent his son Jesus from heaven to earth. Heaven invaded earth. And Jesus lived on this earth, and then he died when he was 30-something years old. For your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. He died for every sin. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered the grave, he conquered hell for you and for me. And God's simple plan is that you and I believe that Jesus did that. If we believe, if we exercise faith, if we put our hope and our trust in what Jesus did we have a relationship with God. It's that simple. And if people have tried to overcomplicate that in your life before, if you're still not a follower of Jesus, I apologize for the church historically that has done that. I want to invite you tonight, if you have never placed your faith in Jesus, let me invite you into that space. If you're on a faith journey and you've come to the place where you know you need Jesus in your life, you know that you're trying to do it yourself and by the rules and all of that, it's not working for you, you know you need Jesus, I'm going to invite you to say a simple prayer. It's so simple, it's going to be 6 words. You cannot get much more simple than this. If that's you tonight, and you're saying, yeah, I want to become a follower of Jesus, say this prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. It's that simple. I'll say it again in case you didn't get it, if it was too complicated. Jesus, I give you my life. If you haven't prayed that prayer before, something similar to it, giving your life to Jesus, make tonight that night. One more time. Jesus, I give you my life. If you said that prayer tonight, everything changes. You don't have to work your way to heaven, to a relationship with God, because you accepted God's simple plan by giving Jesus your life. If you've said that prayer tonight, I want to know. After the service, our prayer team will be hanging around the front. Just come tell us, hey, I said that prayer. We'd love to talk to you about it and then maybe pray with you. For the rest of us, series is ending. It's time for us to slow down. Remember getting the slow lane a little bit on purpose? Frustrate yourself to slow down. Take time to Sabbath. Take time to rest. And don't feel guilty about it. Practice some silence, solitude, being by yourself, and some stillness. And to make all that happen, simplify your life. In a word, breathe.